Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law, #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland live from Circa. 2 hours of Bronny talk today. Kelly, can't wait.
Let's go. That's right.
Very excited.
It's what everybody else is talking about, Gil. Yeah.
We're going to make certain people listen. That's what we're going to do on the show today. It is packed. Drew Didzik will join us, not only talk NFL with us, but because it is the morning of the NBA season commencing, Drew will give us all his season longs, all his thoughts in the NBA, because he is a big-time NBA bettor as well. We'll talk World Series preview. I have some thoughts. Paul Sporer has some thoughts as well. We'll get to that. You will chime in on the NBA because you really haven't had a chance to do so, you know, fully on the show.
Yeah, run through all my futures and everything. Yeah. Yep, day one, I'm excited.
And then Wilson Hilson with all of his World Series bets and thoughts otherwise and bets in other sports. I have a feeling he's all about the Yankees. That's my guess.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
It's my guess. But I could be wrong about that. I don't know. It's funny reading all the previews of the of baseball stuff. There is a... I feel like there is a Yankees skew, at least the ones that I read anecdotally.
I was just going to ask that because I brought it up yesterday. It felt like we were getting that a little bit from Mark last week. It would be interesting to see what he has to say tomorrow. And then, we'll see. We'll see what these guys got to say.
We'll see what they have to say. Football last night, doubleheader. And let me just say this right off the top. Can I be a 1,000-year-old man to start the show? I can't take the streaming anymore. I can't do it anymore because there is no, I don't know what platform you have, but on most platforms, right? I think I'm confident in saying that. And then we find this on Thursday nights, right? When there's a football game on Thursday night on Amazon, when there's like a baseball postseason game is when it has manifested this month. But last night was a great example of it just being football versus football. There is no seamless way to toggle back and forth in the same way that you can from a network to a network, right? And so... last night, how much of that Chargers Arizona game did you end up watching? How many total plays?
I have the multi TV set up right, so I was going.
So you had it?
Yeah, I had it up. I had it, but I understand
for
that
the
is
mere
the
mortals
problem
that,
with streaming
that
yes.
don't have multi TV viewing and who like don't have access to a sports book. Like I could walk up the hill, and go to the sports book, but I'm wondering what the average number of plays. Because I think the way that Chargers Arizona game was going last night. I wonder if there was a lot of people who just punted on it till after the Ravens Bucks was over.
Oh, I'm sure you're right. I also feel like ESPN didn't do as good of a job promoting it as they usually do.
I think that's true too.
Because I got a lot of texts.
People like, where is this game?
Yeah, where is this game?
Yes, because it wasn't network, it wasn't Amazon, it wasn't cable. It was ESPN Plus.
I thought, and I think I only heard about it over the weekend somehow. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
I would agree with that. I don't have much to say about that game. 17-15 Arizona wins. Were you on Arizona in the end?
Yes.
Yeah. 17-15 in a game that was a Cameron Dicker field goal fest. By the way, can we say beyond Justin, are we ready to pass the torch from Justin Tucker to Cameron Dicker? He does not miss.
I don't think you're going to get any pushback from me, Gil.
He has never missed a kick inside
it's
of 50.
Incredible.
And he's like missed 6 field goals in his entire career. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's automatic these days.
I don't have much to say about that game. It's about what I expected. But I will say, I think the Baltimore-Tampa Bay game is good to go over a little bit. Again, it was one of these games. We had a few of these this week where one team spotted the other team 10 points. We saw that in the Tennessee-Buffalo game. Buffalo then scored every point after that. We saw that in the New England-Jacksonville-London game, even though New England did get a garbage touchdown. Essentially, they were spotted 10, and then Jacksonville rolled them. That was kind of what happened last night. Baltimore spotted Tampa Bay 10 points, and then it was the Baltimore Ravens fest. 6-play, 70-yard drive. Lamar to Andrews from 9 out made it 10-7. Then the next time Tampa Bay got the ball after that, the ensuing drive, 2nd and goal from the 3. This is where it really changed. Mayfield picked by Marlon Humphrey in the end zone. Remember, 3 plays before that, Mayfield had Mike Evans open in the end zone. He dropped it, and as he's dropping it, or maybe he dropped it because of, he re-aggravated his hamstring. So that was the big turn of events in this game, because it looked like Tampa Bay was unstoppable at that point. And then all of a sudden, they were completely stopped with that sort of hamstring pull followed by the interception Kiniella, if you will.
Yeah. I thought we were going to be in for a great high-scoring back-and-forth game. Like, it was – I mean, this Bucs offense has been so impressive so far this season than just injuries, man.
Yeah, Baltimore did come back then with the ball after the pick. The refs tried to nullify. Well, they did nullify a Lamar would-be rushing touchdown on a phantom hold that just didn't exist. Two plays later, didn't matter. Lamar to Bateman. It was a rushing touchdown ultimately, but Lamar to Justice from 18 was what actually happened after the rush was nullified. That was two plays after Lamar hit Bateman for 59, 14-10. Then Baker picked by Humphrey again on the ensuing drive. It was bad Baker at that point.
Yeah.
Right. So, we're getting the bad Baker version. Baltimore would lead it 17-10 at the half after they had a flag fest at the end of the half. All right. Let's fast forward 20-10. McLaughlin doinks a 55 yarder. Baltimore then takes a short field, four plays, 55 yards and 57 seconds. Lamar to Bateman for a huge gain again for 49 to make it 27-10. Then the next time Baltimore gets the ball, Henry for 81. Sets up Lamar to Andrews, 4-yard score on 4th-and-3 of the Tampa Bay. So 34-10, late third quarter. It would be 41-18 with 6.5 minutes left. There's a reason why I continue with this, and that's because of this. So at 41-18 with 6:32 left, Tampa drives, they score to cut it to 41-24 with 3:46 left. They go for two. It fails. Now Tampa does the I do declare, and it works. So they get the ball back, and I guess they're thinking at this point, we still have a shot? So they score to cut it to 10, Baker to White, untouched, from 23 out, 41-31, and then a Baltimore 3-and-out. So the back door betting, if you have Baltimore at this point, given the points, you are like, I cannot believe the back door of this game is open.
I had to change back
door. How is this possible? How is this possible? And apparently Tampa Bay held out hope that they could win this somehow. I mean, I guess that events kept happening that made them think, well, I mean, we're still in this, kind of.
Yeah.
And the penalty that they pay, the price that they paid for this is that Chris Godwin gets hurt in the process, broke it, a dislocated ankle on a pass pattern. And that's the end of his season. Like, he had to get air casted and carted out of there. And so now you have the Mike Evans hamstring re-aggravation. If you ever had a hamstring injury, that could be forever, right? It's a really pesky injury. You have no idea when you'll be able to recover from that. And now Chris Godwin, done for the year, you lose your two starting wideouts in the process, the second of which, Godwin, one might justifiably argue was kind of pointless. Now, maybe they still thought they were in the game. I don't know. You can't say it's pointless, but it sure rang hollow. Let's put it that way. And you, in defeat, you may have cost yourself your season. And I don't think I'm exaggerating.
No, not at all. I think their season's over. You lose two guys like that, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. They're too good. This offense is based around so much of what they're able to do outside with Baker Mayfield and those two guys. Like you said, we don't know when Evans is going to be back. We don't know what the extent of that is. Godwin looks like it will be all season. These are guys that... these guys are so easy to root for, too, man. Like, I mean, the wide receivers in Seattle and Tampa and what they've been able to do through a multitude of quarterbacks and stuff, it's so hard. I don't know if you caught, like, him getting carted off, and you could make out him wording, like, back to work, just turns to the trainer and said, back to work. Like,
it's unbelievable to have that attitude in that moment.
It's incredible.
I agree with you. Well, you know, beyond that, so what does it mean? It means that Tampa Bay now...
I don't know. I know it's going to be a big conversation today about whether he should have been out there or not. I think it's easy to say afterward he shouldn't have been. I'm not going to be that guy.
I wasn't saying it afterwards. Yeah. I was saying it in the moment. I'm like, this is bad.
A coach doing going either way there, I would have been okay with. I know it's easy that it looks bad now, but I don't know.
Regardless of how you feel about that, the loss puts the Buccaneers now in a tie at the top of the NFC South, a division which you're going to have to win most likely to get in the playoffs. There will probably be no wild card from the NFC South. So both teams are 4-3. Remember, the Falcons somehow beat the Bucs the first time they played in a game they probably shouldn't have, or a game the Bucks probably should have won. Now the Bucks tied with the Falcons, and they have the prospect of game two this coming week between the two clubs. And this becomes a massive game, because if the Bucks lose this, they also are now lose the head-to-head tiebreaker in that division, and will in effect, although they'll only be one game behind in the standings, in effect they'll be down two. Both of those clubs with a nine and a half season win total right now. But you see the Bucks division odds much different, +150, Falcons -165. It's also interesting with that Arizona win yesterday. If you go to the NFC West, Arizona and the Niners, both one game behind the Seahawks. Seahawks 4-3, Cardinals and Niners both 3-4, Rams, by the way, 2-4. That division also a logjam, and the not only with the Cardinals win having implications, but now the Niners confirming Brandon Ayuk with a tear of the ACL and the MCL. Debo's in the hospital with pneumonia. CMC, they think, this is the company line right now.
Yeah.
The company line is that Christian McCaffrey will be back after the bye.
Which you can't trust anything the Niners say right now about McCaffrey, right? I mean, the company line has been, he's coming back, and it just keeps getting pushed back of when he's actually coming back.
Yeah, and then supposedly Drake Greenlaw sometime after that, I suppose. If you're wondering, okay, when's the bye? The bye will take place.
And you've even got what?
The week after this week. So you're saying McCaffrey will be back. Not this Sunday, not the following Sunday, but the one after that, they're saying.
And then it's, I mean, what, Jennings, Kittle, like it's a mash unit right now. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. So those are two divisions that I don't think any of us expected to be where they are. Well, maybe in the NFC South we did. We just didn't know that the Buccaneers would go from, I mean, I had them at the bottom of my top 10 power rankings. Now both the Niners and Buccaneers, it's hard to really make the case that they can stay where they were moving forward. Interesting circumstances in the NFC West last night, and then of course in the NFC South in the game prior too. Drew Dinsick with all his thoughts on the week gone by, all his bets in the NFL coming up, and his NBA season longs. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing SportTrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. SportTrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. SportTrade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and now Arizona. Coming to Virginia soon. Download SportTrade, use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beat the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. CB Moore, listening to Guessing Lines, and sometimes I wish it was podcast only, because on that Bills line, it wasn't podcast only, because on that Bills line, when Kelly told you -3, I could just hear in your silence, blank you. No way. LOL. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Brian M. Oh, I said you wanted it not to be. We showed the video yesterday.
I can't remember. It's been a while since we've had one where your guess was as far off, and then I came back over the top with you. Yeah, I bet it already. I bet the other side already.
Back over the top. Brian M., nothing big going on in sports. Probably need the segment with Drew to be an ANG special investigation into what kind of whale Drew identifies as. Being an avid fish keeper and a whale doesn't add up unless he's keeping dinner as pets. Oh, we'll get to that with Drew coming up. Jesse Welch, not trying to pump up DraftKings or anything, but you can live stream all the national NFL games on the Sportsbook app, and it's way closer to live than any other media form I've ever watched. How about that?
There are, I believe, multiple books doing that, which is kind of cool. I can't imagine sitting there watching on my phone like that, but yeah.
I hear you, though. Drew Dinsick, speaking of the man, at @whale_capper, he's the host of not one but two podcasts, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, and of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from the LBC. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing tremendously well. And yeah, I take, first of all, fish are friends, not food. But I take exception to the idea that there's nothing going on in sports. The NBA starts today, guys.
Yes.
This is a pretty big day. There is a lot to cover, and I'm very excited to be on with you guys to hit the, you know, to hit all the bases here.
Yes.
Actually, I'm ready to turn the page, frankly. It's been an up and down season for me, if I'm being honest, in the NFL. And I finally, but I was treading water. I was just, you know, poking out a small advantage every week. And then week seven was just an absolute bloodbath. So, yeah, gave back all my winnings on the season, lost some season long stuff that had some hope. And now I'm ready to turn the page to basketball.
Well, before we do that, sorry. what were the season longs that you have pronounced dead?
Well, I had like superlative stuff for Chris Godwin, season long overs for him. I'm assuming he's probably not playing any more football this year.
He's done.
Chris, Mike Evans as well, and then Brandon Ayuk. Yeah, there's a number of guys that I had season long positives for that all went down. And I keep dumping money into the DPOY market against TJ Watt. And even though he does very little on a given day, his Steelers continue to win and he continues to shorten in price for the best defensive player of the year. So now I'm about just ready to throw my hands up in that market as well. So, yeah, no, all the player stuff has gone a little bit sideways for me. I think if the votes were held today for MVP and DPOY and OPOY, I don't think I would have a single one come home. I would guess that right now you're looking at a Lamar Jackson, TJ Watt, Derrick Henry, and then Jaden Daniels. Actually, I have some Jaden Daniels. Yeah, so that one I think would come home.
We all got some Jaden Daniels. Didn't you also, your call on Nico Collins for OPOY was great too, right? You had him like 66-1 or something.
Yeah, we had a little birdie tell us that was a more serious injury than they let on though. So I got off all that.
Yeah. Okay, I know we got basketball to get to. By the way, I love how Drew says we can touch all the bases. The bases are the one thing he does not talk about, the actual bases. But he's around the bases.
I don't know. I might go down there on Friday.
Oh,
this
really?
This is big, man.
It is huge.
Like, this is crazy. And I kind of knew Dodgers-Yankees had history, but not as much as it turns out they do. Like, my goodness, this is incredible.
It is the single most common World Series matchup there has ever been. I believe it's amazing. The 13th, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. So, and the last one was 1981, mm-hmm. where it was a broken up half and half strike season, which the Dodgers won that one. Yankees won in 77 and 78. And then I want to say before that, it was probably Brooklyn and the Dodgers. Maybe I missed one somewhere in the middle.
There was a couple. Yeah. I think there was one in 59, I want to say, when the Yankees might have been playing at like the Coliseum.
Okay.
No, the Dodgers were playing at the Coliseum. Yeah. And I think the Dodgers won that one 4-3.
But oh, yeah. And that's
from memory.
There's five MVPs on the field. There's a sixth one who's on IR. I mean, you couldn't ask for, if you're the networks, you could not ask for a better matchup than this. But we'll get to, I know, so Drew may go to this game, which good for you. Let me just wrap up the football stuff before we get to the NBA, because I know you're fiending to do that. What did you bet anything in week eight moving forward?
Only bet I have in the queue so far for week eight is Rams +3, expecting Cooper Kupp back, and expecting a lot of the same in terms of the passing offense having some success against this Brian Flores blitz heavy defense, in the same way that Goff really knows how to handle that well. Stafford and McVay are extremely solid at kind of taking advantage of a very aggressive defense that Brian Flores trots out there. And on a short week and a quick turnaround and travel spot is pretty bad for Minnesota, honestly. This sets up well, in my opinion, for the Rams to cover the number and potentially get the win. I don't think the Rams are out of it in the NFC. But this game, obviously, if it results in a loss, would change my opinion.
Yeah, that might be a wrap at that point. All right, let's go to the NBA. The NBA season, special numbers game investigation reveals that the NBA season begins tonight. let's wait for the individuals for the end here. Let's start with team thoughts. your Boston Celtics. You famously have cashed in on them in the past year, in the recent past. What is the extent to which you are willing to bet them this year?
Well, I mean, just for the record, I make them 5 wins clear of the next best team. Not just the next best team in the East, but the next best team, period. I would have my number two power rated team would be the Knicks. And I think just in general, the Eastern Conference to me is pretty blah, pretty boring. It is very, very clearly stratified, in my opinion, as far as who's the best, who's the second, who's third, fourth, fifth, who's sixth, seventh, eighth, who's ninth, tenth, and then who's not going to be in the mix for the play-in. The only kind of real discrepancy I see in terms of market pricing for the Eastern Conference is I have the 10th seed as the Detroit Pistons, whereas there seems to be some expectation that the Bulls are going to make it back into the play-in for the millionth year in a row. I think the Bulls slide out. I think the Pistons step in, and I have Pistons exceeding their win total by almost 6 wins, and I have the Pistons to make the play-in at plus 350 in pocket. So I'm all about Detroit basketball in the Eastern Conference this year.
Detroit basketball. So Pistons to make the play-in tournament, and who didn't love the play-in tournament this past year? Los Angeles Lakers, play-in champs.
That's right.
By the way,
never
sure they did they put that banner up, by the way? Did they? I think they did.
They hung the Commissioner's Cup banner,
yeah,
right?
I think they did. All right, so Pistons to make the play-in tournament. Did you say?
Well, you guys know the Clippers moved out of the crypt. So yes. They had to kind of put all the Clippers banners that left.
That's right. They got to fill those.
Yeah, they had to put something there.
So much space.
So much empty room
so
now.
So much space. By the way, just for giggles, stratify that for the Celtics one and then just go down to the top eight.
Sure, yes. Celtics one with a bullet. Knicks 2 with a bullet. Philly, Cleveland, Milwaukee are clustered 3, 4, 5. Really kind of comes down to health of Paul George to whether Philly is the 3 seed or the 5 seed, in my opinion. People are way high on Cleveland. I think basically the win totals are priced correctly for all of those teams. However, Indiana Pacers, I would have 6th. Orlando and Miami, I have 7, 8. There's pretty tight cluster between those teams as well. I do think Orlando has the potential to be the best defense in basketball. That roster is absolutely stacked with outstanding defensive personnel, and kind of intrigued to see exactly how good they are over the balance of the season. But that said, they are still a long shot to really take a huge step forward offensively, unless Mr. Franz Wagner, my hope for most improved player this year, if he comes through and has a better year shooting this year, and maybe he really needs to be more aggressive shooting, period, then I could see the Orlando Magic taking a step forward. But right now I have them as the 7, Miami is your 8, Atlanta as the 9, Detroit as the 10, and then Chicago, Toronto, Charlotte, Brooklyn, and very, very much Washington are your lottery teams.
All right. We'll get to one final future. We'll find out what, again, at the Celtics, what is Eastern Conference to win Eastern Conference? That's your Celtics bet?
Yeah, I have as much of that as I could get matched without having to without having to post up.
All right, not to win it all.
It's gonna be a while
till
we catch
the Eastern Conference.
My fair price for that, it starts with a minus.
Okay,
so I think Celtics to win the East is the best bet on the board in the future.
Okay, one more team future, and then beyond Franz Wagner for most improved, his other individual awards. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The sports equinox is upon us with all 4 major sports in action, and there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new sports equinox special, there's no better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now, get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That includes daily best bets, betting splits, plus our exclusive betting content for the MLB playoffs, pardon me, college football, the rest of the NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, and the NFL draft, all for less than $20 a month. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Obviously talking about the World Series when it comes to the to the Major League Baseball postseason. And I was wrong. Not the 13th time the Yankees and Dodgers have played in the World Series, but the 12th time.
12th, yep.
God, they're terrible.
Yeah, jeez, be better.
I exaggerated.
Starting in 1941.
1955, the Dodgers win, I believe, was the big one for the Brooklyn franchise. That was the...
Yeah, you only got 3 Dodgers wins in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the most recent.
They're due.
Is the Dodgers from 1981. We get tweets at Benny the Book, Torch D. I'm sure looking like a savant taking Bucks minus three on the look ahead. In addition to guessing lines, can we have a guessing Monday night injuries?
Yeah, that was a perfect example of that. That's why you be careful with those or don't bet them at all.
I am so glad I didn't bet that Bucks look ahead at this point. Yes. Jason H. 11. The Niners are such a mash unit that they just called up Radar Klinger, Klinger and Father Mulcahy to the practice squad. That's I think those are mash characters from the sitcom MASH.
Oh, thank you, Gil.
I think that's what those are.
See, this is how this works. I explain Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to him. He explains MASH to me.
MASH was even before me, man. I just barely knew that one. Matthew Mayberry, they have NBA season-long specials on DraftKings. Anthony Edwards to have 10 assists in any game this year is only minus 130. How in the hell is that not free money, he says. Kelly's looking at me like, no.
Yeah.
Jack Cannon, Steeler Jack 50. Two things I learned last weekend, he said. Mike Tomlin is smarter than me, and if the home team throws enough debris on the field, the call will be overturned. Have you ever seen that in that in the Texas-Georgia game?
God, what a bad look.
Have you ever seen a PI flag picked up? They're like,
I mean, yeah, but not after all of that.
Yeah, no, I can't think of one offhand. Jason McKinney, I'm hearing that CMC may not ever return to football and Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. One of those things is true. D-Gen Southern Gent, Cameron Dicker being perfect inside 50 all time is a massive indictment. This is such a great point. Is a massive indictment of Brandon Staley's fourth down decision making. Great point, yep. D-Gen. Much more importantly, though, are Bronny and LeBron a great all-time father-son NBA duo or the greatest all-time father-son NBA duo? Please stop. I can't get into it. Let's see. All right. We'll get to some others coming up. Drew Dinsick, kind enough to join us for a second segment again at @whale_capper, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. So let's run through the ones you've given so far. Celtics to win the East. Drew, the Pistons to make the play-in tournament.
Going out on a limb there.
You're going out on a limb. But it's like you said, it's value's value, right?
The biggest edge on the board, and it's not close.
Okay, so there you go. What price did you get on that, by the way?
I think it rounded out to like plus 155 or something like that.
Okay.
I'd have to do all the math, but that's kind of in the ballpark. My fare on that is minus money, by the way. I think it's better than 50-50 chance that the Celtics are your Eastern Conference champions for a second straight season. And Andy pushed back on me. He was like, well, what if something happens to Tatum? And I literally resimmed my season, assuming Tatum plays 0 minutes for the Celtics, and I still have them as the second best team in the East.
Man. Wow. Great. Okay. Grizzlies to make the playoffs plus 220. Explain, sir.
Ooh, okay. So the Western Conference is kind of funny because it's good compared to the East. The East has a very clear stratification of good and bad. The West is not really. The middle class of the West is all like kind of fine margins between the second best team and the 10th best team, which is wild. And right now I make the Grizzlies the 11th best team. And if there's sort of a theme across the way that I project the season, and this kind of goes back to my process where I basically just took fantasy rankings, which not fantasy rankings, but fantasy projections for minutes across all sort of the major sites and averaged them, actually weighted average them to come up with expected minutes projections for all the players, combine that with my player ratings to get team ratings. Carried that through to, you know, season wins. So when I did that on the first crack, it basically popped that, you know, all of the Western Conference teams with like these legacy stars who are old and are kind of, you know, people are, it's fun to bet against these type of players, the LeBrons of the world, the KDs of the world, you know, these guys are old news. All of those type of teams popped as value in the wins market. And then all of the teams that have like young up and coming, you know, talent like the OKCs, the Minnesotas, the Memphises, the you know, that they were all popping as you know, overbet. And so I was okay, well, maybe I got to go look at my minutes projections again. Maybe there's going to be more, you know, more load management that I'm just not accounting for with these fantasy minute projections. And so I, you know, I kind of adjusted things down, took games away for some of the older players, and still have a meaningful edge on the Warriors and the Suns. to be, you know, much better than market expects in the Western Conference. And then on the flip side, I'm cool on Memphis. Memphis right now is a pretty fragile team, as far as I can tell you. I don't really love the way this roster is composed right now. You got a chance to see a lot of the depth last year as they were broadly injured across the front line. And the depth is not good. And they kind of have already gotten themselves into a little bit of an injury situation here, where they don't really have a ton of talent in the front court. And Ja Morant is, in my opinion, at least an injury waiting to happen with his style of play and the fact that he now has this recurring, hand wrist injuries. So I am kind of a buyer beware on this Grizzlies team. And it's not as much as I don't like the players, I don't like the way they're put together. It's more of a just, they look fragile to me, and the West is crowded. Somebody's got to fall out of the mix, and Memphis for me is the first team out. Pelicans are also for me, and that's mostly just because I don't like the way the roster is constructed right now. I don't think it's a finished product. I expect that they're going to end up making some more moves, but you have two really, really questionable defensive pieces in Zion and DeJounte Murray, who are going to be on the court for a lot of clutch time, which means you're going to need better defensive players around them. And outside of Herb Jones, they don't really have that right now. So I'm not exactly sure what the Pelicans are, but right now I project them to get 10th in the West. People are way, way, way high on the Spurs, in my opinion. And I get it that Wemby is the next great player in the NBA, and he may be in the MVP discussion this year at points. But for me, the rest of that team is absolute hot garbage. And I will be blown away if the Spurs are able to sustain winning basketball with the way that that roster is put together. So I'm basically just kind of banking on this being the last hurrah type of season for the Kevin Durants and the LeBron Jameses and the Steph Currys of the world. And I think those teams kind of are the teams that really pop as value for me when I look at the wins totals.
All right, let me clarify. Grizzlies to miss the playoffs. I think I misspoke and said make. Grizzlies to miss the playoffs at +220 in the Western Conference. And now let's give it a minute on all of these. You mentioned Franz Wagner of the Orlando Magic to win most improved. Give me a little capsule on that.
Okay, so Franz Wagner is probably the most important offensive player for a young, burgeoning Magic team. And he had an offseason last year shooting, which really kind of dragged down his just his overall offensive output. An up year shooting the three is going to help launch him from 19 points a game to, say, 24. And if the Magic are if he is playing that well, the Magic are winning games because their defense is just unimpregnable. And I think that that he'll make his first All-Star team, and he'll be your market leader come February. So Franz Wagner is a really fun, important player to watch. Okay. And then to piggyback on the Suns, I'm projecting the Suns to be in the 52 win range, which is not like, it's not like right home about it. I'm sorry. I was looking at Philly, not Phoenix. Phoenix I have in the 55 win range. So I'm almost 7 wins over their win total. And I was thinking hard, like, well, how do you attack this? There's not really alt win totals to bet into for me for NBA wins. So I went to the futures market. I played a little KD MVP 90-1. I played some Grayson Allen to win sixth man of the year. People maybe don't know he was a starter last year for the Suns, and he is going to come off the bench this year for them. Now he is dealing with an Achilles injury right now, so maybe now is not the best time to bet this, but people are sleeping on how, his stats could take a step forward if he is the first guy off the bench and he's going up against bench mobs and just in general, I would expect he closes for the Suns. So he kind of fits the perfect archetype for sixth man of the year. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Mike Budenholzer, he's back. He is coaching the Suns. He has perennially gotten the best out of teams like this. His first year in Milwaukee took them to 60 wins. I would say that that's probably the ceiling for the Suns. Certainly the Suns getting a top two seed in the West, I feel like, is a possibility. Again, like two through nine for me are only separated by a few wins. So you only need a little bit to go right to really secure that two seed. And if it is the Suns, then believe me, Mike Budenholzer will be definitely at the top of a lot of voting ballots for Coach of the Year.
All right, Grayson Allen, Sixth Man of the Year, Coach Bud, Mike Budenholzer to win Coach of the Year with the Suns, Franz Wagner, Most Improved with the Magic, Pistons to make the play-in tournament +350, Grizzlies to miss the playoffs at +220, and the Celtics as he steps out on a limb, but says there's most value on the Celtics to win the East. Drew, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Best of luck, you guys. Enjoy the season.
Drew Densick, pumped for the NBA, that's for sure. We'll come back. World Series next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I know you're going to have a chance to talk about your NBA plays later in the show. Any reaction to Drew's?
Yeah, I like a lot of them. Pistons, so I played a little bit different, just going with some awards markets with Cade Cunningham. Like, I played most improved, but like I kind of got a couple tweets about that Central division. I do like the Pistons a little bit over their win total, make the play-in. I don't know if I'll go that far, but I do think the East gets weak as you get to the back end. It's much like we saw a year ago. So I think you could make a case for some of these teams. I have an over on the Hornets. I know JVT, Zach and I are all kind of excited about them. They're a team I think I could make a case for there as well. I agree with him with what he's talking about with the Grizzlies. West is just crowded. It's crowded. There's some teams that are going to miss out, or a team or two that's going to miss out that everybody's expecting to be up there. John Morant, to his point, John Morant has to have a MVP-like season, I think, for that Grizzlies team to really be near the top of the Western Conference. That's not to say he can't do that, but the way he plays and the rest of that roster is just not very deep. The Pelicans, I was kind of chuckling at, because I don't know if you know this, Gil, but they didn't fully go along with my planned redesigns of the team of just, lose a bunch of these pieces, build around Zion, but they're trying in the sense that they're not going to go with a center at all this year to start. So they're going to have a starting lineup of very small guys around Zion Williams. So we'll have to see how that works out. I really like the Grayson Allen Sixth Man of the Year call. I do think that of all the Suns bets I've heard, I think that's maybe my favorite because of everything that we expected out of Phoenix last year. He's really the only guy who did his job. Like, he came in there and shot 46% from three, played in almost every single game. So, like, Drew's talking about him likely coming off the bench now. I would wait till we know for sure he's fully healthy, but I think that is a bet I'll get involved in. And then we were talking about off the air. Bud's a popular play for Coach of the Year, and I get it. I get it. JVT and Drew both have the Suns very high in the West, which I can't get fully to that point on them, but I understand it. And then I forget the last one he had. But, yeah, that was a lot of the ones I agree. Oh, no, the Franz Wagner. That was one. I bet it a year ago. There's always this trick in betting, right, where you bet these awards and you bet them like a year early. You can't really get back on board again. So I think that's where I'm at with Franz, but I understand.
And Drew was telling us that his podcast partner, Andy Molitor, they were talking on their podcast about are there any NBA rule changes this year? And Andy immediately quipped, yeah, I hear you're allowed to get your son into the league this year. That's allowed.
It is going to be crazy tonight. The Griffies are in attendance. Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. will be going to this game.
So so the kid has to play a little, basically?
I feel like that he has to play.
Yeah. If Ken and Ken Jr. are showing up.
I mean, like, don't you have to do a LeBron Bronny, like, pick and roll, like, just to do it?
Oh, God. Since we're talking about NBA awards, real quick, because of the game last night, Lamar Jackson, 158.1, his passer rating. I believe that was just shy of a 158.3 perfect passer rating, if I'm not mistaken. Just an unbelievable performance by Lamar yesterday. 17 of 22 for 281, 5 touchdowns, no picks, 9 carries for 52. He did lose a fumble.
Did you see this?
Ridiculous.
Did you see the stat on the all-time list of guys with most games with five passing touchdowns and zero INTs? Five passing, not rushing.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Tom Brady and Drew Brees with 8 each. Okay. And then it is Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Lamar Jackson, all with 5.
Wow.
And the total number of starts it took to get there, only 84 Lamar. Everybody else is 200-something.
How many people would have lost that bet?
As
he tries to get he's not trying because he couldn't care less about this, but it would be his third MVP award if he does win it this year. And with that performance last night, he has become the short shot. Plus 225, he is shorter than Patrick Mahomes, who's plus 475, Josh Allen 5-1, Jared Goff also in single digits at plus 850, everybody else 13-1 or longer. That's probably the correct pecking order right now, I think.
I don't know if I think we're getting things twisted with Patrick Mahomes. I don't understand how he can be this short right now. He has more interceptions than touchdowns. I know the team's undefeated. Right. Well, but like, I think it's a reversal of everything we said preseason. Everything we said before the season was, and Andy Reid had no chance of winning Coach of the Year because he has a Patrick Mahomes, right? I'll go reverse on that now. This team is 5-0, and the defense is playing lights out. I think Andy Reid's actually more live for Coach of the Year than Mahomes is for MVP right now.
There's some other interesting.
Which I think Josh Allen. I mean, come on, he's got zero INTs.
Lamar Jackson also went to 23-1 straight up against NFC teams last night,
which is just that's another one of those ridiculous stats. Like, that's what, incredible. Like, I don't even know if it makes like doesn't make sense. Like, let me go check out every one of those games.
That was the NFL draft revenge game last night. Remember when Baker got drafted first in 2018 and Lamar 32nd last in the first round via trade. By the way, by the Baltimore Ravens. There's other ones. Jaden Daniels week to week, right? So offensive rookie of the year. That didn't really change.
Yeah, much, it didn't.
Because of the uncertainty about Jaden Daniels, he's correctly the favorite. Caleb is lurking somewhere there. It should shorten a little bit, right? Jaden is -145. Caleb is +115. It is a mano a mano race at this point. Nobody else really in the mix per the market. How about comeback player of the year? You want to do comeback player of the year?
Yeah, I do think it's interesting. I mean, look, if you had any interest of getting in on Caleb Williams at any point, like now's the time, right? Like they're going to play.
They haven't played anybody, man.
No, I know. But like they're going to play the Commanders this weekend. You miss out on that head to head matchup, you know, most likely. But in 1 week, as long as if Caleb Williams picks up a win and has a decent game like these and Jaden Daniels doesn't play, these odds are different next week.
Kirk Cousins, 3-1 for comeback player of the year. J.K. Dobbins. Wow, that's rando. +330. Joe Burrow's 4-1. Aaron Rodgers and DeMar, both +550. Look at that. DeMar Hamlin is +550. Remember, I asked that question of Aaron Schatz. Is this a possibility? He was like, oh, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, it's still an interesting question.
I have no answers.
I can't bet it.
I have no answers here.
I can't bet it because all we're left with is asking about whether he qualifies or not, right?
And Sam Darnold, 16-1.
Sam Darnold back to 6. So they reposted and Sam Darnold is still getting bet.
I heard a lot of love for Nick Chubb, too, before this past week. But now he's back in the lineup. So I know a lot of people who bet Nick Chubb was 15-1.
Like Jameis is up there. Why is Jameis up there?
Because you never know what's about to happen, Kelly. And lastly, we have one more that we want to look at here.
This market kills me, man.
What do we have here? We have one more market in the NFL? Yes? No?
Offensive player of the year?
Offensive player of the year.
Derrick Henry's down to even money now.
Yeah, well, after that last night. He had 4 carries for 23 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
He wasn't even part of the game plan. And then they're like, okay, Derrick, we have a big lead. You want to seal this for us? How about 15 for 169 when all is said and done? 11 for 146 in the second half alone.
Yeah, I think it was one of my are we sure questions last week, but I think this market is Henry or Barkley already.
Like, it's Henry.
Barkley. I know it's early, but I think one of those two. Whoever stays healthy is probably winning that award.
Derrick Henry, even money. Saquon, as Scott Hansen called him, 3-1 in this market. Real quick, because we're going to get Paul Spohr's thoughts on the World Series coming up, and I'm curious to hear what he has to say about the Dodgers and the Yankees, which begins on Friday at Chavez Ravine. So you have games 1 and 2 Friday, Saturday, skip Sunday. Then you would do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I believe it is, for the games Wednesday, obviously, if necessary, game 5 at Yankee Stadium, and then day off back to Chavez Ravine for what would be Friday and Saturday of next week. As well, did I get that right?
Okay, but Friday, Monday, Wednesday, you had that right for Game 5's Wednesday. I'm sorry, no, I'm screwing up. I'm going the other way here. Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Game 6, Friday.
That's what I said. Okay, so I got that right.
Yeah, you're right.
So it could get into November if this goes long. I already bet the Dodgers at -124 in the series. I see it's like -135 right now. I actually think, now remember, both of the championship series had been wrapped up in 5 games, this would have started sooner. This would have started tonight. But because the Mets and the Dodgers went to 6, it reverts back to its original schedule time beginning on Friday. Why do I focus on that schedule? I really believe, Kelly, that the time off here helps the Dodgers. The reason I believe that is the Yankees have gotten some, not that the Dodgers haven't, but in the case of the Yankees, they've gotten some very outlying performances in this postseason that just were nowhere to be found in the regular season. I get it, like Tommy Edmonds of the world for the Dodgers, same sort of thing. But the Dodgers have so many ways to beat you offensively that I don't care if it was short rest or long rest. They're not as impactful in terms of they won't get impacted with whatever rest. But with the Yankees, I get the feeling there will be some reversion here. The Gleyber Torreses and the Anthony Volpes of the world who have been getting on base, I don't know, you rest and you sort of have time off and you come back. I think you kind of revert to your regular season performance. Does Giancarlo Stanton stay in this hot mode, or does he revert back to sort of his normal self? I just think the Yankees are more susceptible to that kind of thing. I think if the Yankees are to win, they've got to get to that Dodger starting pitching early so that then they can start to face relievers over and over. But then again, if they don't, again, the Dodgers have so many of them that I just think it's the margin of error for the Yankees is so slim to me. I've got the Dodgers in five. Jason Weingarten, who wants you to know he's not a Dodgers fan, has the Dodgers in a sweep. We'll get Sporer's thoughts coming up later on the show. Coming back on A Numbers Game.